6. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada from the Acharya Vaishnava. O Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, by your sweet will you appear in various incarnations, millennium after millennium, and act wonderfully, performing uncommon activities that would be impossible for us. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuthanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a declining religious practice or descending of Bharata, and a predominant rise of the religion, at that time I descend myself. Thus, it is not imagination, but the fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by His sweet will, appears in different incarnations such as Matsya, Kurama, Varaha, Nrisimha, Vaman, Parashuram, Ramachandra, Balaram, Buddha, and many other forms. Devotees are always eager to see one of the Lord's innumerable forms. It is said that just as no one can count how many waves there are in the sea, no one can count the forms of the Lord. This does not mean, however, that anyone can claim to be a form of the Lord and be acceptable as an incarnation. The incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be accepted in terms of the descriptions found in the Shastras. Lord Brahma is eager to see the incarnation of the Lord, of the original source of all incarnations. He is not eager to see an imposter. The incarnation's activities are proof of his identity. All the incarnations described in the Shastras act wonderfully. Keshava Dhrita Meena Sharira Jai Jagadishavana. It is only by the personal sweet will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he appears and disappears, and only fortunate devotees can expect to see him face to face. Kale Kale Swayam Vibho. In every age, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam, personally appears. Although he is Vibhu, all powerful, greatest, and here also he said, Svaiccha, he appears by his own personal sweet will. By his own will, the whole universe is going on anyway. This is Iccha Shakti, just by the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything is going on. The scientists are examining how everything is going on, how the seasons are changing, how the planets are moving, and how the cells in the body are interacting. And they give this reason and that reason. Well, the white blood corpuscles and the red blood corpuscles because of this and because of that. So they're finding the reason, they want to find the reason. But the ultimate reason is because of Krishna, the Sarva Karana Karana, the cause of all causes. There are so many problems in science, mathematical problems. They've discovered so much, they want to find out something more. Find out what is. Why is this? Because of this. Why this? Why that? The ultimate reason is because Krishna wants it. That's why. That they don't know. Krishna, by his will, everything is going on. Mayadhyakshena, Prakriti, Suyate, such and such. Krishna's wish under his adhyaksh, under his control, under his direction, under his supervision. Everything is going on. And also, by his own sweet will, if he wants, he can come. And as it happens, he does come, he doesn't have to come. But he comes time to time in various incarnation forms, such as here Prabhupada has written, Keshava Dhrita Meena Sharira Jagadisha. The Lord comes as a fish, right? We tell people the Lord comes as a fish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes as a fish. They may be surprised, at least in the nasty country where I come from, fish means you walk past the shop and there's this nasty smell coming out where they're selling fish. So why would the Supreme God come as a fish? But then if you see what kind of a fish that is described also in this 8th canto, that is the horn of the fish. You have a fish with a horn. And that horn itself is a million yojanas. So, not ordinary fish. So you may think, well, that doesn't sound very realistic, but that is realistic for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Guru Vishaha performs activities which are uncommon, incapable to be enacted by anyone else. He shows he is the Supreme Guru. Atimatyani Padava, described in the beginning of Bhagavatam. Kritavan Kulakamani Sahara Meke Shara Atima Dhyani Kalavan Guha Kapatavan Shara. Krishna and Balaram, they appear to be like ordinary beings, but they perform many uncommon activities which could not be performed by anyone else. Guha Kapata Manasha. Kapata means what? Kapat, cheating. So, in this verse, Krishna is described as Kapata Manasha, cheating man. Cheating, not exactly cheating, but he's showing just like an ordinary person, but he's not an ordinary person. So in this way, the form, the original form of Krishna, is more dear even than the other forms. We have Ram, Shinta, Varaha, Kurma, this is another name, Parashuram. So there are many different forms of the Lord, and they are wonderful. Adhuta Shinta. So, Nishinta Dev, these very forms, it's uncommon, adbhuta. So, everything about it is uncommon. No one imagines, Hiranyakashipu couldn't imagine, didn't imagine, that the Supreme Lord, who he hated very deeply, would appear before him in the form of a half man and half lion. And if you had told him that, my dear Hiranyakashipu, the best of the demons, the Supreme Lord will appear in the form of half man, half lion, he would have said, impossible. And that would reveal his ignorance, because for the Supreme Lord, nothing is impossible. Atimartya is the first explanation. Atimartyani Bhagavan, all his activities, they are atimartya. It means uncommon. Martya means that those who are subject to death. And atimartya means who is beyond death. So Krishna, he is in a different category. Another commonly used word, alokik, not anything but this material world. So this is Krishna performing many different pastimes, different lila avatars. The lila avatars especially, they're most wonderful, their activities. There are many different kinds of avatars, the six basic kinds of avatars. But especially the lila avatars, they perform wonderful activities, unimaginable. Who could imagine that Varaha, Supreme Personality of Godhead, would come out of the nose of Lord Brahma, in a tiny form, and then expand himself up to the size of the universe? And though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will go deep into the Garbhagar ocean, pull out the earth. Who could imagine such a thing? Kurma Avatara, who could imagine that the Lord would take the form of a giant tortoise? So this is unimaginable. Achintya, Alokya, so many different words which describe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unimaginable. So here the demigod will admit that the Supreme Lord is performing uncommon activities that would be impossible for us. The demigods are very powerful, and they perform activities which for us are impossible. That's why they're demigods. Called demigods. Why demigods? Why are they called Deva? What's so great about them? Because they have some powers, some opulences, far more than any living being on this planet. We see on this planet some men big and strong. Just like we have Miss World contest, Mr. World, who's got the biggest muscle, like a big buffalo. And so he's extraordinary. That regard, yes, big and strong. Or they have competitions. Who can run the fastest? Who can see who's very quick in running? And all kinds of things. You can shoot the target very nicely. Someone may be extraordinary, has some extraordinary ability. But the abilities of anyone on this planet are nothing compared to the abilities of the demigods in heaven. They're far, far above us in their bodily forms. You see, we have this world context, but even any apsara from the heavenly planets is not even the famous world, even any ordinary one. They're far more beautiful. They don't have to put on perfume to make them smell nice. because automatically from their body attractive smell comes. It's not like us, you give off bad odors and then you have to wash and put some aftershave and all these things to smell nice. They automatically, their body smells very nice, and then their whole features, the way they move, automatically captures the minds of the demigods. So they're bewilderingly beautiful and attractive. So women, men, and the demigods mean they're not only very powerful and above the humans, even the asuras, they're also very powerful, and they have greater sensory. When I'm saying the asuras, I mean in the subterranean heavenly planets, the planets where the demons live. So even the demons, they have great bodily strength, great bodily beauty, long expansion, long duration of life, but they're not called gods, even though they're more than the demons in their abilities, but they're called asuras because they're envious of Krishna. So the demigods, they're called devas. Vishnu Bhaktasmito Daiva Asuras Tapikarya. Those who are devotees of Krishna, why are they called Deva? Why are they called Deva? Because Deva means one who accepts, one who is worshipable. So they're worshipable not so much because they can, Indra throws his thunderbolts and this and that, but because they are devotees. Therefore they're called Deva. We have the English word also divine. Sounds like it probably comes from Latin. So, sing and be divine is something special, worship. So demigods, they're very great living beings compared to us, and especially they're great because they are devotees. Sometimes you think, well, demigod, you know, Indra is always getting in trouble here and there, but still, he's a devotee. Not only a devotee, but a special devotee, because Lord Vamandev appeared as his younger son. Therefore, Vamandev's name is one that he's named in relationship to his older brother, Upendra. One of Upendra means Indranuj, another name for Vamandev. He was the younger brother of Indra. So, you can imagine it's a very close relationship. Usually, the younger brother, who's got an older brother? Who has an older brother? So usually, especially the younger brother looks up to the older brother. You know, he's really great. The older brother looks after him and shows him how to do this and that, and how to move in the world. So there's a very intimate relationship between the younger brother and older brother. So Indra, for all getting in trouble here and there, doing something he shouldn't do, getting cursed, after all, he's the older brother of Vamandev. He's also not an ordinary devotee. He's Mahindra, great king. He's got this position to rule over the heavenly planets. No asura can be. Only someone who's a devotee can be entrusted with such a responsibility. So he's Indradev. Person who behaves properly, whose behavior is godly, called Dev. The Brahmanas, they used to be called Bhudev, because they were like God in this world. The behavior was so perfect, and they had some power also. So they were called Bhudev. They're like God. So one becomes godly by certain qualities, like Krishna describes in Gita. One of those qualities. Krishna describes in the list of the beginning of the 16th chapter of the godly qualities. So these are the godly. It means Akshantirat. Well, that's the knowledge. It's in the 13th chapter. I just slipped my mind. What is it? It begins with the Abhayam. Abhayam Sattvatam Shiddhi. Jnana Yoga Vedas, Jnana Gandhas Chivanas, Svadhanas, Ahimsa Satyamakrodas, and
finding station. So these are godly qualities. Fearless, purification, submission, to be fixed in the mode of goodness, always acting in a way that can remain pure. Bhayam Satya Samshad, Jnana Yoga Devasta, to be situated in knowledge, not acting ignorantly, as a fool, but acting very bravely, always acting for the fulfilling the purpose of life. Dana, giving charity, Dhamma, following the Sutra. So all like this, there's long list, godly qualities, qualifying this, Deva, Deva, godly person. But then Krishna is Deva Deva. Deva means someone who is worshipable by his qualities, particularly the quality of devotion to Krishna. Robhuta Sarga Lokasmin Daiva Asura Pitacha Vishnu Bhagavasmita Vena Asura Pitacha. Two kinds of people in this world. One is called God, Godly. They are devotees of Krishna. And the others, they are the opposite. They have all these bad qualities. They are called demons. So you can see who is devotee, who is demon. You can see by the qualities. Demons, their qualities are also different. What are those qualities? Now my brain is completely into what is that? Dhambo, list of bad qualities. So many bad qualities. Krishna summarizes first. So, Dhambo, Dhamma, Dhanas, Cha, Kodha, Parishare, Cha, Yama, Cha, Vidya, Kata, Sangha, Asuri. And then he goes on. Jagadavu, Vishwa, Dhambo. Actually, most of these are the same. Dhambo means a great pride. God can see, I'm so great, I'm so Abhiman, Akhtapita, false ego. Krodha, envy, unnecessary, unneeded, Narushna, very harsh, nasty. You see, grossly materialistic people, they take pleasure in making jokes at others, making them look small. This is what they call humor in the Western world. Mostly it's cutting people down and making them look stupid, isn't it? All these TV programs, and it's just to make someone else look foolish and stupid and small. This is the quality of the demon. And just harshness, envy of others. Ajnana, no knowledge, they don't know what is the call of life. These are demons. So one is qualified, Deva and Asura, that is qualities. And Krishna is Deva Deva. He is worshipped by those who are worshipable. Those who are worshipable by their qualities, they don't actually want to be worshipped, they want to worship Krishna. And they bring others also to worship Krishna. So a devotee, he is automatically expected to develop some quality, just by performing devotional service, because that example is given in the Upanishads, Prabhupada many times told that. Just like the iron put in the fire, it becomes hot, 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 hotter. So it becomes the same quality as fire. It means if you touch that iron, it will burn. So in the same way, a devotee, by coming in contact with Krishna, then he gets the qualities of Krishna. That also, that one of those nyayas, what's that called? And also, I'm not familiar. The example is given. The wasp captures one insect, and then the insect is captured by meditation on that wasp is so great, and it takes on the same qualities. So yasyati bhakti bhagavati kinchana sayavaryantu naisthatra samasati sura. By being devoted, one is expected to develop qualities automatically, just like Prabhupada said. There's no need, we're not promoting vegetarianism. We're not going all over the world promoting, you should be a vegetarian. We're not going here and there saying, non-violence. But by promoting Krishna consciousness, everything else which is desirable automatically comes. Because if someone becomes a devotee of Krishna, then automatically he becomes a vegetarian. Automatically he becomes non-violent. Automatically he becomes clean. He develops all the qualities simply by devotional service. So that should happen. Prabhupada Actually, one Prabhupada in the second canto, it's a very strong statement. It says that if someone by performing devotional service doesn't develop these qualities, then he's simply an impostor. Very strong statement. We should actually come and grant Shobha of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, used to give this term Shobha. In the window in the shops, we have it. In the wine shops, and probably here also, I didn't look, but in the Western countries, I'm sure they're here too. In the wine shop, they have all bottles in the window, this whiskey, water, scotch, whiskey. And the bottle is painted on the side to look as if there's whiskey. But there's no whiskey there, because they know if there's actually whiskey in the bottle, then in the middle of the night, someone will come and break the window and take it and drink it. So they put a show bottle just to make it look, just to attract your senses, the people who are attracted to such things. But then, if you actually want to get the real whiskey, you have to go inside the shop and buy it. So the show bottle looks like the real thing, but it's not. So, impossible. Show bottle. It's called show bottle. So then, it makes us all feel guilty because, well, we're all going on with devotional life, but actually, if we consider how we are advancing, well, anyway, we shouldn't say this about anyone else, but it doesn't seem we're getting anywhere very fast. That example, what this tantric practice is, rowing the boat. Here we are, every day, Panja Mangalarti, chanting, somehow or other, sound will come from our mouth, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How much love is there? It's maybe not even measurable, because zero is not measurable. Anyway, we're going on with this. It doesn't seem like we're making much progress. For example, rowing the boat all night. The boatman was rowing the boat. When they woke up in the morning, all the passengers they saw, we moved exactly nowhere because the boat was tied up. We don't do anything to the boat. So remaining attached to sense gratification, even though we're going on in devotional service, still we don't make much progress. So, what to do? Well, we could untie the rope. It's a good idea. The attachments of sense gratification. Untie. Means like, give up with sense gratification. Then we can make very quick progress, even going beyond the demigods. The demigods, they're devotees, they're highly elevated persons, but their progress may not be so fast because they're being attached to the prospect of sense gratification. They may not be going very fast either. They may not be advancing very quickly. So, it's a very good idea. Devotees often ask, well, how can we make quick progress in Krishna consciousness? Give up sense gratification. Then, everything you're doing, this rising early, going to Mangalarti, chanting all these things, we're doing, but if we're harboring the thoughts of sense gratification, then it's like pouring on the fire. This side you're pouring kerosene, this side you're pouring water. So we may be pouring more kerosene than water, but still, we don't get a clear fire, we get a lot of smoke. So what to do? Anyway, we have to go on with Krishna consciousness. If we go on with Krishna consciousness, even though due to our crippled mentality, we're still attached to the idea of sense gratification, certainly Krishna will help us. There are many verses in the scriptures which describe how we should just go on with our Krishna consciousness. Keep on going. It's some famous Sankirtan motto, book distribution motto in German. You have some, you know what it is? It's
famous in Hare Krishna Maharaj's song, some German I can't even begin to, like Shai Bardham or something like this. I mean, something like, anyway, the translation is, just keep on going. Because book distribution, especially in the Western countries, you're out there in an environment which is, unlike in India, which is basically quite favorable. The environment in the Western countries for preaching Krishna is right out on the street among all kinds of people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness and don't particularly want to be interested. And the devotee's job is to make them interested and give them all these books. So the atmosphere is basically hostile. So it's difficult. It's difficult on the mind, difficult on the body, difficult on the senses. So what to do? Because the mind is saying, don't do this. Just keep on going. And that's the motto for all of the emotions. Just keep on going. What are you going to do? My mind says this, and my tongue says this, and my belly says this, and my genitals says this. I have so many demands. Just keep them under control. Keep on going in the emotional mind. And many despite all difficulties, that day may come Ram Susanichama, no Punjana Vivagna to come, Vipa come, Vivagna, Vivagna to do, Vivagna to do, Vivagna to do, most people wait till they are hard. So many difficulties you have, guaranteed. But if you keep on going, thinking that anyway I'm sinful, I'm not getting the results and the reactions. If someone goes on, he's devotional like this. Jiva goes on living in this way. Krishna will be very pleased that despite my difficulties, someone goes on with his life in devotional service, not giving up. Krishna becomes very pleased. And such a person is going back to Godhead, and even Krishna is versus Bhagavatam. This is spoken by Lord Brahma. That's why this verse is spoken by Lord Brahma. So he's saying, Lord Brahma says, that such a person goes on with that, he can go. If I come and say, hey, let me in. I've got a right. Right. Something goes on. Of course, the devotee won't go like that. He won't say like that. He'll say, I'm not at all fit. But actually, it becomes his right, just like the son becomes his right to inherit the estate of his father. So, in the same way, the devotee goes on in devotional life. He becomes so much qualified that he must go back to him. That also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again prepares a Lord Brahma.